For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another early edition here on the West Coast, a little bit later in the morning on the East Coast to the Mandatory. Remember, if you like the content, make sure to hit that like and subscribe button. Also follow us on our social media channels. We're at the Mandatory TKO. And if you got a couple of minutes and wherever you find your shows, podcasts, you can find us there as well on the audio side. So leave us a rate and review. Give us a 5-star. Lots to get into. The last crescendo. This card is absolutely stacked. And a little bit of drama as well because Shakur Stevenson has a new opponent. How excited are you for that? We're going to get into everything. I think consensus is people aren't excited, but we are going to get into that. Before we do, though, Brian, been a pretty busy week. How has your week been? How has your weekend, man? I know we're almost about to head into another weekend, but this is our first show this week.
It's been busy. Today is actually going to be my busiest day of the week, which, you know, things could be worse, obviously, but it's a lot of work. But yeah, I'm happy to be here. We get to talk about boxing again. This card is stacked, I think overly stacked. We'll talk about that. And yeah, if you're watching, comments, questions, super chats, as always. There's a lot to get to, and a lot of people are very, very excited about this card on Saturday.
Yeah, before we got on, I legit said to Brian, inject it into my veins, because we're like going through the card. And I kept on forgetting how stacked this card was. But you know, Brian, I think we have to start off with the first fight. Because this is arguably was one of the best fights last year, some controversy. And we're getting it again. Archer Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol. Now, remember, this fight came down to the championship rounds. Personally, lots of controversy. I think some people thought Dmitry Bivol won. And some people thought Archer Beterbiev did enough to get the victory by decision. And we're getting a second fight for this, which I think is totally warranted. Brian, when we're taking a look now, you know, and we'll get into the odds and whatnot, but your thoughts on the second fight, and do you see it going any differently than the first?
I've struggled with this a lot, actually. So I had Bivol the first time going into the fight, and I thought he won the fight. If you want, we could pull up the punch stats and sort of look through and relive this, so to speak, because I do have them on my laptop here somewhere because I was just looking at them yesterday. And as a reminder of how that fight went, at least statistically, I may have been convinced, though, during the week that Beterbiev might actually be better in the rematch. So I talked to Raheem Palmer from The Ringer about this. He was one of the only other people who covers the NBA and boxing like I do. And he was like, look, sometimes in the rematch, like the guy who won the first time just gets better because the second guy who lost has to make more adjustments. And I'm like, that's interesting, because I think if Dmitry Bivol is going to win this fight, and you're going to see where I'm coming from here, Chantel. If Dmitry Bivol is going to win this fight, he has to take more chances. Because I thought he won the first fight, to be clear, but it wasn't scored that way. And I don't know how the judges are going to be this time around. I don't know if it's going to be scored similarly, where Artur Beterbiev is rewarded on the aggression, even if his output wasn't as efficient. But Bivol kind of gave it up in the last three rounds, where he was a little inactive. It wasn't as bad as Oscar De La Hoya versus Felix Trinidad, but he gave up the last three rounds where he was overly defensive, and Artur Beterbiev, to his credit, like, he pushed it further and had some of his best work late. So if Dmitry Bivol is in a position where, okay, I have to take more chances against Artur Beterbiev, then it's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, can he survive being in the ring a second time with Artur Beterbiev while taking these chances? I don't know. So I was Bivol by decision 2 days ago. And since then, I'm kind of like, man, am I going to bet Artur Beterbiev? And if I do bet Artur Beterbiev, it would be on the money line. Like, I don't know if it's – the money line is decent enough where it's like minus 130 or whatever, where it's like, all right, cool. I don't have to sweat that piece of it. I always think this is a fight you can bet whoever you want on majority decision, on split decision, also draw. Like, this is going to be close. But if Beterbiev has to take more chances, it's going to leave him open, and I worry about that for him. I mean, Bivol is going to have to take more chances. Excuse me.
Yeah, and you take a look at the line, and I'm taking a look at one prominent sports book, and it has shifted a little bit, not too much, but Artur Beterbiev is a minus 125, and Dmitry Bivol is a plus 100. So the odds are very close. The first fight was very close. In the first fight, my bet was right. I said that Artur Beterbiev would win by decision. That was like a plus 750 at the time, which was, I think, arguably like one of my best bets last year. But I also felt like Dmitry Bivol won that fight, unfortunately. And so when it comes to the second fight, I thought Dmitry Bivol, Brian, fought the most perfect fight that he could against Artur Beterbiev. But Artur Beterbiev was able to get it done, especially in those championship rounds, and they gave him the win. And even though there was some controversy, I look back at that fight and I thought Bivol fought the most perfect fight. So what does he have to do? His work rate has to get a little bit more higher, his counterpunching, maybe he also throws the double jab. But I just think that Artur Beterbiev gets the win, because if Dmitry Bivol already fought his best fight, what more can he do? And I think by now, Artur Beterbiev has downloaded all the information that he needs to off Dmitry Bivol, and he's going to look even better in this second fight. I think there's a very big possibility that happens. And I think this time he might be able to land a very, very heavy shot that maybe even, you know, makes Dmitry Bivol stumble a little bit. The thing about Artur Beterbiev that a lot of people don't talk about, we know that he has power, but he also has skill. He also has one of the best jabs in boxing, and he does not get credit for that. People just talk about how scary his power is. Now, he is sneakily old. And, you know, one day you could wake up and you could just not have it. And this happens in every sport. I don't think, you know, Friday morning or Saturday morning that happens to Artur Beterbiev, but I'm not God. I don't know. But I do know that Artur Beterbiev is probably going to look better than he did in the first fight. So I'm going to rock with Beterbiev winning by decision. And this time around, it's a plus 225. I don't think Dmitry Bivol gets knocked out, but he's definitely going to be trying to take more chances. He's definitely going to be putting himself in positions where he's going to try to counter more. And I do think he's going to try to throw the double jab more, because he's going to have to against Artur Beterbiev. Beterbiev is just so skilled. And, you know, it sets up an interesting matchup for the future, because if Dmitry Bivol gets it done, like, it, you know, we've seen Bivol be hella tight with Turk. You never know what could happen on the scorecards, okay? if we wanted to get a third fight, a trilogy fight, possibly.
Yeah.
I just think Bivol, he did all he could do in that first fight. And I sat here after the first fight, like, what more can he do? I don't think he could do any more, man. I think Beterbiev wins again. And listen, if he does, it just gives Beterbiev more greatness under his belt, right? And more cachet around his name. And he's just a guy that I don't think anyone's going to knock out or stop. that's how I feel right now. We got a couple of comments really quickly. Jesus, good friend of the show, joining the show. Happy Thursday. I can't believe it's Thursday. This week has flown by. And we're going to get to this a little bit later, but I just want the truth says from the open workout, it looked cold out there. Caballel barely let his hands go and was out of breath in the interview afterwards. They can play, that can play a part in the fights. Yeah. I mean, it's so weird because we'll get to that later, but mentally anything can mess you up in a fight. But Brian, with that being said, like we're both taking Beterbiev to
win. I'm leaning that way. It's more of a lean for me.
Yeah, yeah. But, I was surprised because I know you were very...
I generally favor the counterpuncher here, but at the same time, you hit the main point, which is like, all right, what more can Bivol do? If we think he fought a perfect fight, and many people live just coming away from it thought he won the fight. I know at least one prominent, I guess boxing analyst we'll call him, has flipped on his decision in terms of he had Bivol winning and then flipped and rewatched it and was like, no, Archer Beterbiev won this. And I think we can fall into the trap of overly rewarding aggression. But those last three rounds, Bivol did not, you know, he wasn't active enough with his hands. And it's like, all right, if what more can you do ultimately comes down to you have to take more chances. And then the question is, can Dmitry Bivol hurt Archer Beterbiev? I don't know. Like, he can tag him. So. He can tag him. He did that in the first fight. Like, he threw every time you think he's done with the combination, and then he's got another 1-2 in your face. Like, he'll throw four punches and then he'll pause really quickly to just collect himself and make sure he's in range. And then right when you're about to throw, because you think it's your turn, my turn, he's throwing again. Then it's like, oh shit, this wasn't part of the agreement. You know, like Dmitry Bivol just catches you slipping in that way. But can he hurt Archer Beterbiev? I don't know.
Like, no, I don't think so. We got to shut up because Tyrone the Great just donated. Whenever you donate to the show, we put your comments up right away. Thank you, Tyrone. Tyrone has donated to the show consistently, Brian. He's one of our good friends of the show. Thanks so much, Tyrone.
We love Tyrone.
He said, the Super Bowl of boxing, Beterbiev. Most rematches go the same way. Usually, yeah, because it's like if you won that first time, you're probably going to win the second time because you know what you have to do in order to beat your opponent. And here's the thing. Beterbiev was coming off a knee surgery in that fight. He's healthier now. He might be
also older, but yes.
But like, you just never know. Like, he doesn't look like he fell off. And we're gonna talk later on about the undercard. And there's a couple of guys that I think didn't have the best performances in their last fight. However, I just think Beterbiev has it in the bag and he's going to get it done again. And it makes for a very interesting fight next. Let us know, drop your comments. Who do you have for this rematch? Do you have Beterbiev? Do you think Bivol ends up avenging his loss? Cause that's the only loss on his record. How do you see this going? Do you see it being even closer than it was? Maybe a draw. Drop your comments. We will read them. And of course, if you're watching this after the fact, drop your comments still because we will get to them. Brian, any final thoughts before we move on to the co-main?
No, I just think it's going to be an awesome fight. And I think it could be maybe have a little more action than the first fight did, which I think fight fans would appreciate. I'm just not sure that works in Dmitry Bivol's favor, but we'll see.
You know what's crazy? I was like sitting down thinking, and I was like, if Beterbiev was able to get the decision the first time, Bivol taking more chances, does Beterbiev have a chance to knock him out? We've never seen it happen. Bivol's never been knocked out, but there is a chance that if that knee is strong now, did that on a bad knee,
seriously,
you know, it's possible. But drop your comments below. Do you think Beterbiev could knock out Dmitry Bivol? It's never happened before. You know, Bivol's that good. Very good defensively, too. But Beterbiev did some work on him. We got to get to the co-main because there's a guy that's knocking out dudes left, right, and center. And in his last fight, tucked in someone for a nap a few times. You know, they didn't know what was going on. It's like when you go out and, you know, you go out drinking and you wake up for, you know, a glass of water. You're still kind of faded. This is what was happening in the ring when Daniel Dubois was fighting Anthony Joshua. It was crazy. And he's going to be taking on a Joseph Parker, who's kind of had a resurgence lately in his career. He's looked very good against Jilin Zhang, I did not expect him to get that victory, but he looked very good. And this is another fight where it is a guy that has a lot of power and Joseph Parker, who is skilled, and he's fought a power puncher before. And listen, Brian, how exciting is the co-main? Daniel Dubois, Joseph Parker. Like, is this arguably going to be one of the best fights of the night?
Depends on Joseph Parker, because Joseph Parker is going to try to outbox Daniel Dubois. Like, I think he's probably going to fight him on his back foot. I don't think he's going to come forward and try to mix it up with Daniel Dubois. But then it's like, okay, Daniel Dubois is just going to walk right to you and try to put your lights out, as we've seen him do. Like, this is a great fight in terms of, I love the story that these two guys present. As a wrestling fan, I care about the story leading up to the match. And in this boxing match in particular, you have two guys who at different stages of their career, they're having these moments where they're resurgent, so to speak. So with Joseph Parker, he's strung together 5 consecutive victories. The last two were very high profile and both upsets, Deontay Wilder, Jilin Zhang. The Deontay Wilder one, if we want to pick this apart a little bit, the Deontay Wilder win, Deontay Wilder looked washed. And I'm as pro Deontay Wilder as literally anybody talking about boxing.
No, I looked washed. He was washed.
Like, I'm as pro Deontay Wilder in the boxing ring as anybody, but as anybody outside of, you know, himself and I suppose Malik Scott, but you get what I'm saying, outside of Alabama. But he was washed in that fight. He's absolutely washed in that fight. Like, he was just waiting and never pulled the trigger. It was like he thought he was just going to get the knockout with the same basic combination that he was throwing all fight. And then in the fight with Jilin Zhang, Joseph Parker fights somebody who puts him down twice. To his credit, resilient, outboxes him, but Jilin Zhang has no stamina by the end of fights. He didn't land a punch in the last round. I think it was 0 for 17. And Joseph Parker narrowly scrapes by with a majority decision. So it's like, how impressive does Joseph Parker actually look going into this is what we're going to find out. And then with Daniel Dubois, he beat the shit out of Anthony Joshua and also beat Filip Hrgović. He got rocked early on against Filip Hrgović, outlasted him. He got rocked early on against Jarrell Miller before that, actually, outlanded him and was able to get the stoppage there, which I thought was big because I thought he was going to potentially lose that fight. And the Anthony Joshua one, Anthony Joshua just, he tried to big boy him. We talked about this. He tried to really just like push him around and go at him like, oh, you ain't going to do shit. And Daniel Dubois was like, all right, bet. I'm just going to keep knocking you down because you keep not defending yourself. So I don't think Joseph Parker is going to make it that easy. I think he's going to be craftier. But I question, given that he's been knocked down several times in his career, how long he's going to be able to remain on his feet. So to me, this is Daniel Dubois, and this is likely by stoppage. I think if Joseph Parker outboxes him en route to a decision, then, I mean, all the Daniel Dubois sort of love affair that we have right now, that's going to get blown up tremendously.
Well, I think this sets up Daniel Dubois and Oleksandr Usyk. If Daniel Dubois has a good performance and he's able to get it done, the one thing about Daniel Dubois is his power is absolutely filthy. Like, it's going to tuck in a few people for a nap. And Joseph Parker, been dropped before. I love the resurgence of both of these guys because I think at one point people were kind of off Daniel Dubois, even though he does have the power. And I think for Joseph Parker, some people stopped believing in him, but he's like racked up some really, really good wins. And, you know, despite the fact that Deontay Wilder looked washed, he's still Deontay Wilder, right? Like, power would have to be the last thing to go, but he's still, yeah, I get it. Like, Deontay Wilder did not look like Deontay Wilder. The Jilin Zhang fight, which was most interesting to me because I was, you know, rocking with Zhang pretty heavy, one of my favorite heavyweights. And that was a fight I didn't expect Zhang to lose. But then, you know, after the 6th round, Zhang just loses it. And we're going to get to that a little bit later quickly when we talk about the card. You know, he gasses out. And I think Joseph Parker, the one thing that he does really well is stick and move. That's what he does really well. And that's what he's going to have to do against Daniel Dubois. He's going to have to move around the ring. He's going to have to, you know, counterpunch a little bit because he's a good counterpuncher. But at the same time, he's going to have to take a lot of shots. So Joseph Parker has to stick and move in this one. I think Daniel Dubois gets it done. And Brian, I think there's a really good chance that in between round 7 through 12, Daniel Dubois could get the stoppage. And I would not even be surprised if it happens in rounds 1 through 6. What we saw happen to Anthony Joshua was crazy. I mean, I think we had the picture on our intro. It's just, you know,
it's that the boxing was photo of the year last year, honestly.
So I'm rocking with Daniel Dubois, and, you know, I don't know what the odds are for that, but I think he gets it done by KO or stoppage. I think his power is going to be too much. It's going to add up too much for Joseph Parker. So that's my only issue there. I'm taking a look at the odds at one prominent sports book. Daniel Dubois is a minus 250. Meanwhile, Joseph Parker is sitting at a plus 200. And if I'm taking a look by KO, TKO, it's a minus 125. Mm. I think for this particular fight, Brian, I'm definitely going to do a parlay, but I would take a look at the group round betting, because I think that is probably the most interesting bets that you can make with some value. So Daniel Dubois, as I mentioned, round 7 through 12, a plus 175. But I'm not going to lie to you, I'm looking at the rounds 1 through 6, Brian, and it's a plus 400.
I'm looking at 7 through 12. I do recall, like, Joe Joyce got to Joseph Parker relatively early, but also it took him a while to actually finish him. It took till round 11. And this is Joe Joyce when Joe Joyce was like Joe Joyce, pre-Zhele Zhang, just sort of ruining his rise. And Joe Joyce, you know, knocked out Daniel Dubois in the past, and Daniel Dubois has since recovered. He's looked very good. He's looked like a different guy for the most part since the Oleksandr Usyk fight. We had a really good comment,
actually. I love it for him. Yeah.
Real quick. Yeah, we had a really good comment I wanted to toss to real quick. So I just want the truth chimes back in. The difference between Joseph's last two opponents versus Dubois is that Dubois is a combination puncher. I think this is a great point because with Deontay Wilder, you know what he's trying to get to. And the entire time, it's just setting up that straight right hand. I was screaming for him to throw an uppercut because Joseph Parker kept getting under that right hand. It's like, if you could follow that with an uppercut, you might actually catch him, but he never got creative enough offensively. And then with Zhele Zhang, it's kind of the same thing where it's like, you're looking for the straight left hand. And Daniel Dubois, like, he'll throw different punches. He'll throw uppercuts. He'll throw overhand rights. He'll throw straights, throw left hooks. You know what I mean? Like, he's most likely going to get this done if he gets this done with the right hand, at least over the top, or a straight right hand. But if you just look at, for example, the Anthony Joshua knockout. Anthony Joshua, he popped him back, Daniel Dubois, a little bit. And then he kept throwing the same punch over and over. Straight right hand, straight right hand, straight right hand. And then he goes to throw this uppercut, which Daniel Dubois, like, he's timing it. He timed it right beforehand, and he kept timing this uppercut. So he's trying to throw, like, the Gervonta Davis, like, the uppercut that looks so fucking cool, this lead uppercut. Or when you knock people out, he's trying to get Daniel Dubois with that for some reason after tagging him with the straight right hand. And Daniel Dubois just reads and reacts, and he's quicker. He has better hand speed than Joseph Parker. And he just tags him with that right hand that we all know. So, yeah, to me, like, Daniel Dubois between round 7 through 12 is where I'm probably going to look. Once that becomes available, because where I'm looking in this book, it's not available yet.
It's available on the book that I'm looking at right now.
Yeah.
And let me just go back right here, guys. I'm very sorry. Okay. I should be on point with this. So around 7 through 12, as I mentioned earlier, which would be the bet that I would be taking, a plus 175, but I am also going to splash on that rounds 1 through 6 at a plus 400 Joseph Parker also gets tagged a lot. Okay. And unless he's going, and that's the thing, this is the best comment that we had so far. Dubois is a combination puncher, but he's also landing those combinations with power.
Yeah,
he's gonna get to the body.
He's not gonna wait either.
He's gonna go now, yeah. Right? Like, he's not gonna wait. And I think for Joseph Parker, you want to control the pace for this fight. That's the most important thing for this fight for Joseph Parker. Can he control the pace? Can he take the amount of hits from Daniel Dubois? And I just think that power is going to be too much for him. Joseph Parker gets hit a lot, unless he's going to stick and move and land on Dubois, which he'll be able to land on Dubois, make things interesting. I just don't know if it can last the whole fight. Like, I think Dubois gets it done and it's a stoppage. But I also think that he can land a nasty shot on Joseph Parker because he is reading timing really well lately. And I think I like the plus 400 as just as a sprinkle, but the 7 through 12 makes the most sense to me, guys. So please drop your comments. Let us know who you're going to be rocking with in this fight, how you're going to be betting it, and drop your slips. Because if you're going to be talking that smack, we want to know that you actually bet it right and you're just not talking that stuff. Our good friend Jesus says over here, Dubois, TKO late. Okay, I like that. Yeah, I think it's going to be a stoppage. Also, really quickly, Tyrone the Great, who donated to the show, he said, I am taking Joseph Parker. He has proven me wrong 2 times. Then again, Daniel Dubois has proved me wrong too. It's one of those things, Tyrone, where it's like both of these guys right now are having that resurgence. I feel like fans were off of both of them at one point. And that's why this is such an interesting fight. Like Brian said earlier, he's a wrestling fan, so he loves the storylines for this one. Either way, I think you got to be happy for Dubois and Parker because they're going to get that bread for this fight. And that's what I'm happy about because both these dudes are going to be getting paid for this. So, Brian, any final thoughts before I get to Jesus's couple of next comments?
If Joseph Parker wins, then he's going to have to stay upright for 12 rounds.
He's only going to win by decision. Let's be serious.
Or Daniel Dubois has been knocked out a couple times. But, I mean, I don't think Joseph Parker is going to try to do that. Like, I mean, sure, he'll if he can get a knockout, he can take it. But he'll take it. But I don't know. Lionel Watson. If Chisora can drop Parker, why can't Dubois? Right.
I mean, anyone can drop anyone in boxing.
Especially, well, in the heavyweight division specifically, right? So he got dropped twice in that fight. Once, and somebody commented on this on the film study that I did, in one knockdown, it was a headbutt, but there was also a punch thrown there by Chisora. And then there was another time where it was just a flat knockdown. Like Parker's been dropped by Joe Joyce. Parker's been dropped, you know, in other fights like Jilei Zhang, we've talked about. I don't think Anthony Joshua dropped him in their fight. I don't recall, but because it was so long ago, that was like early Anthony Joshua when people thought he was going to be like a little bit better than he turned out to be. But ultimately, like I think Dubois by stoppage is where I'm going, and probably late. I just don't know if Joseph Parker is going to remain upright for 12 rounds.
I just want the truth, who's left some solid comments this morning. Daniel Dubois, 5th round TKO ref stoppage. It's the beating. Like, how long can you sustain those hits from Daniel Dubois?
And how much confidence we have in Daniel Dubois, right? Do we have in Daniel Dubois?
His confidence is through the roof right now, dude.
Yeah, like, but is that dangerous is what I'm wondering. You know,
I don't think so, because I think Daniel Dubois has seen the other side of what boxing can be like. The fans are fickle. The business is fickle. And Daniel Dubois experienced that. Let's also keep in mind that even though it was called a low blow, technically dropped Usyk, if you believe it wasn't a low blow. Right? Like, let's call a spade here.
Sure.
It didn't look like it was too low, but I'm not a man, so I don't know. Only you guys would be able to tell me such a thing.
That's
a different conversation.
We'd have to consult with Alexander Usyk. He felt the punch.
So. That's true. I'm just saying, though, like, I wouldn't be able to speak on that. For guys, obviously, it's different, but I don't think it was a low blow. But hey, like, what do I know, right?
If it's a low blow that's that hard, I might use all 5 minutes.
Okay. You would do that, though. I feel like you'd be the fighter that'd be like,
for Daniel Dubois, sure. I'm not going to say what I was about to say because it's TMI, but like, it's not. No, like that shit hurts. All right, okay. Let's go to this comment first. Yeah,
because let's quickly go to this comment because I just want to, you know, give props to me and Jesus. We were right on Barbosa. We both said that he would get the victory against Jack Catterall by decision, and it was great on the money line too. It was a plus 330.
He deserved it.
So great fight.
And what I was worried about most was I was like, Arnold Barbosa is going to have to be near perfect to get a fair shake, and he just beat the British judges. That was my main concern, because I was like, there's no doubt he could win this fight in terms of talent, but will the judges give it to him? And he did not get robbed in that fight. It was close, but he did not get robbed.
And he's actually a good friend of the show, guys. He was on really early on. Really nice guy. We're definitely going to try to get him back. Extremely humble. So congratulations to Arnold Barbosa and his family. Big ass win. And Jesus and I, we're right on this one. Jesus also says, Floyd cold feet. I don't think Jesus believes those hospital photos that came out last night on Instagram about Flo Schofield. Do you, Brian? I don't know. But listen, y'all, Shakur Stevenson has gotten a new opponent. It's going to be Josh Padley.
Ugh.
After Floyd Schofield is out with an illness, there were photos posted. And listen, like, I don't want to be that person that's like, if he's really like, you know, going through something, like, I don't want to, I'm just joking around here. And I know sometimes that's not funny, but there were Instagram photos posted because I think people were questioning this of why he kind of backed out, because I forget who it was, but Shakur Stevenson was on an interview with somebody and he was like, yo, I think he's going to back out of the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Shakur Stevenson, I forget what interview it was, but Shakur Stevens like sitting down in this like one-on-one interview, and he legit said like a couple of days, I don't know when they recorded it, but Shakur was saying, listen, I've been training for this fight and I feel like it's not going to happen. I feel like something's going to happen where Floyd has to pull out of this fight, and he did. Crazy. Now, he might have ridiculous intuition, but is he going to be entertaining in this fight against Josh Padley? Brian, how do you see this one going, and do we care?
This is way worse. This is way worse. This is like the worst possible outcome if you're a boxing fan. I'm not going to lie. So basically, Shakur Stevenson, even against Floyd Schofield, was a mismatch. Schofield, all due respect, who's ranked number 13 by the WBC and is getting a title shot a little bit earlier than we would have anticipated. Shakur Stevenson, minus 1250 on the money line to beat Kid Austin. Prior to their fight, he's minus 4,500 right now to beat Josh Padley. To give you an idea of Josh Padley's standing in Vegas, so to speak. Now, to Padley's credit, he's actually ranked higher than Floyd Schofield in the WBC. He's ranked 12th. So this is still not a top 10 opponent. He is ranked number 10 by the IBF. Schofield has seemingly no ranking there, at least in the upper echelon portion of it. Schofield is ranked number 2 by the WBA. Padley is number 7 by the WBO. Schofield not there. So he's technically ranked higher across the board outside of one, outside of the WBA, than Schofield is. Does it matter ultimately? Because what we're going to see is just Josh Padley. And by the way, this was down to Padley or...
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
For Yadier Herrera, Cuban boxer, who has a fight coming up in Liverpool next month to step up on short notice. And Herrera would have been a much more interesting fight, because if there's anything I want to see less than somebody fighting Shakur Stevenson who's overmatched, is somebody fighting Shakur Stevenson who's overmatched, who also can't hurt him, which Josh Padley cannot do. He's like 15-0 with 4 knockouts, and he's fought meh competition outside of a nice win over Mark Chamberlain. Herrera's 16-0 with 14 knockouts, has legitimate power, and I think could be legitimately really good. He's 22 only. I actually think if you put him in a ring with Kid Austin, like, that's not a good fight for Kid Austin. I'd much rather see Herrera, given the three options, against Shakur Stevenson, but we're not getting that. So I think this fight's going to suck. I think this fight should be moved to a different card. I don't know how much attention I'm going to pay to it, all due respect. I really think I think the world of Shakur Stevenson's talent, and this is not his fault, but this is another bad mismatch where it's just a matter of, is he going to win by decision or is he going to win by knockout? So.
Oh my God, even that was boring. No, I'm
joking. this fight sucks, Chantal.
That's what I'm saying. I'd rather see Herrera, and like a lot of people are saying that too. Jesus says he'd rather see Herrera. Also, friend of the show, I Just Want the Truth, says to Jesus, yeah, I'd rather see Herrera. You guys, I'd rather see Herrera too. That was the most interesting factor of all of that. This is going to be an absolute snooze fest. Get your blanket, turn on the heat, maybe wake up after. I don't know. not to be disrespectful, but I think
turn on the cold here. We want the AC on when we sleep.
Is it hot there?
My apartment gets hot. Yes.
No, is it weather-wise? Is it hot there?
No. But it don't matter because they turn the heat on.
I don't know. I just I'll sleep with heat on in this, not like in the daytime, summertime, but like for me, like 70 degrees is cold. Like I got the heat on if it's 70 degrees outside. I'm like bumping up the heat in my car. Like it's 70 degrees is too cold for me. I'm not built for these type of temperatures.
Seriously?
No way. Yeah, I can't. 70 degrees, I'm freezing. I'm like shivering. Really? But we're also, yeah, it's cold, dude. But also like if you're on the West Coast, you're by water, right? So it's like the water hits off, you know, the air is different. It's just cold. Okay? 70 degrees is cold. I cannot wait till summertime. I'm freezing my ass over here.
I can't wait till we're 70 degrees again. 70 degrees is awesome compared to
I would take 70 degrees, but it's still cold. Like I'm still wearing a hoodie or something or a sweater or a jacket.
I just want to get back to 40 degrees specifically.
Oh, it's been 40 degrees.
We're to Idris Elba.
Anyways, the only thing that's going to be cold is this fight that no one really cares about. But I don't really have much to say about it. Shakur Stevenson wins by decision. Put your money on that because you know that's going to happen. But listen, if he gets a stoppage, which he should, like maybe Shakur starts taking a chance in this fight. Like, yo, you know what I mean?
Hopefully.
That'd be kind of cool. I think he should do that. And I think he could obviously get a stoppage against Josh Padley. Like, let's just be serious here.
Minus 230 to get a stoppage, plus 185 to win by decision, Shakur Stevenson is. Josh Padley, by the way, he fought a six-rounder two fights ago.
Yo, if he doesn't get the stoppage, if Shakur Stevenson doesn't get the stoppage in this fight, even though, like, he's fighting a guy that's coming off of a, very short notice, because that is a factor, because it's like you got to learn your opponent. So I understand maybe he'll be a little bit, you know, you got to feel him out. But Shakur Stevenson, his IQ is crazy. Like, he should be able to stop this guy quick.
You want like, you want the records of the guys who fought or the guys who Josh Padley knocked out since
the Please. I don't care. Does anybody in the comments listen? Does anyone in the comments want Brian to do this, or do you want to move on to the other better fights? Like, let's be serious here. We got about like 20 minutes left, Brian. No,
he's knocked out.
No, I don't. I don't care, dude. Okay, it's listen. Shakur Stevenson should knock this guy out, and if he doesn't get the stoppage, if he doesn't knock him out, we're coming back here next week and we're having a real conversation about what we're seeing. And we're not going to sugarcoat it.
I want the
Tyrone says.
No, let's go to this. Oh my God. Honestly.
Tyrone says it's going to the decision. If it goes to decision, guys, I don't know if I'm going to be awake for the post fight show, which we are going to be doing, guys. So join us after these fights because we'll be rocking with you. It's unfortunate. Post fight
show. Happy about that. We will not be talking about Shakur Stevenson much on that post-fight show, probably. I just want the Shakur Stevenson who fought Shirishiro Yoshino. That's what I want.
I also like the Shakur Stevenson that fought Jamel Herring.
Sure. Yes.
Like, it was entertaining.
Or even Oscar Valdez, but not in this fight. I don't want a decision.
Yeah, that's true. Not in this fight, guys.
So I just want the truth. Last thing on this. It says, let's not say he don't have power. Sarase had like 4 KOs and 25 wins, but look at what he did to Jaime Munguia. And the nerd, welcome nerd, says, so we're going to use the Sarase lucky punch for every fight now? I ain't going to lie. Like, the more I kind of have seen that, I'm like, yeah, it could kind of look like a lucky
shot. You never know in boxing. Like, that's kind of like the beautiful thing about the sport is that you never know what could happen. But Shakur Stevenson's like way too talented, man. And I just hope he I hope he shuts me up. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to talk smack because he's so talented and I really like him as a fighter. I just wish he was more entertaining. Now, you guys, this is a very interesting card and we got to talk a little bit about it, Brian, because also Virgil Ortiz is fighting Madrimov. And to me, this could arguably be the best fight on the card next to Beterbiev and Bivol. I think it's going to be better than Daniel Dubois and Joseph Parker, to be honest with you. This is the fight that I'm excited for on this card. And I'm like, whoa, Virgil Ortiz and Madrimov. Now, remember, Madrimov went the distance with Bud Crawford. I thought Bud won 8-4. Virgil Ortiz, he isn't perfect, but that's what I like about him. He does take the chances. And Brian, who do you got in this fight? Who are you betting on?
Likely Virgil Ortiz. That's not the most interesting. There's another interesting element that I want to get to of this fight.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to by that the in way, a second. I think, yeah.
By the way, hold up. Virgil Ortiz, a minus 125. Israel Madrimov is a plus 100. So they got this really close, y'all. Yeah. Virgil Ortiz, by decision, is a plus 175. By knockout, a plus 350. I don't know if he knocks him out, but I think I'd just take Ortiz by decision at plus 175. But close fight, I think it's going to be close, dude.
Yeah, I'm probably not betting on this fight, to be honest with you. I don't know if I want the sweat. I kind of just want to watch the fight. I may sprinkle on a draw, though. Like, I think this could legitimately be a draw. Virgil Ortiz is, like, I think people are very high on him because he is a very entertaining action fighter. I think he's the type of dude, though, who's going to have multiple losses because of his style, which we almost saw bear out in his last fight against Bohachuk, where Sergey Bohachuk drops him twice. Now, granted, they were both kind of flash knockdowns, if I recall correctly. Majority decision. There are people who thought that Virgil Ortiz lost that fight. I don't think he did, but I had it a draw. One judge did, and then he got majority decision, barely won. Like, I look at that fight, and just early on, like, he wasn't tested a ton. You know what I mean? Like, he had a interesting resume in terms of names, but not ever anybody where I'm like, oh, this guy can give him some problems. Even that version of Maurice Hooker. Like, I didn't think Maurice Hooker was going to do much. So I think Virgil Ortiz, like, you could talk me into I just want the truth's sort of comment here, where, like, I think Ortiz can get the stoppage, but I think he could also get dropped in this fight. Like, there's a bet out there I'm sure you can make where, like, Ortiz gets knocked down and still wins, and you can get a nice plus money number at that. To me, the more interesting element, though, I'll get to this in a second, it's like, what do you think of this? The Xander Zayas piece of this, because I have, you know, it's involving Xander Zayas, so I have thoughts. But what, like, Xander Zayas comes out and says that Virgil Ortiz is taking the safe route here by facing Israel Madrimov. And everyone thinks,
No.
Wait. I think he's onto something. Can I explain why? Because I
mean, it's your show too. You can explain whatever the hell you want. What are you talking about? You don't have to ask me.
I think people are looking at this like, oh, Madrimov is a more dangerous fighter, which is probably true right now. But I think from the standpoint of, like, Xander Zayas is saying, hey, that's an easier fight. I think it's a safer fight because he just fought Terrence Crawford. Madrimov did. And people were like, hey, did Terrence Crawford even beat him? Was it a draw? Whatever. Like, his stock went up after that fight. So if Virgil Ortiz loses to him, the perception is going to be he lost to a guy who pushed Terrence Crawford to the limit. He has a safe landing spot. Whereas if he loses to Xander Zayas right now, if they fought, his fall is a little bit more precipitous because people still look at Xander Zayas as a prospect, despite the fact that he's ranked highly by three of the four governing bodies in terms of his contendership, number one by the WBO, top five by two others. I think if you look at it from that perspective, then yeah, Xander Zayas is a riskier fight because the drop-off, if Virgil Ortiz were to lose, would be a little bit more significant in terms of public perception. So I think he's onto something there. I'm not saying that's the point he's making. I think he's just talking about, like, just boxing shit, which I'm not sure he's, you know, in the right there. But if you're looking at it from that perspective, like, yeah, he would lose more in a loss to Xander Zayas, Virgil Ortiz would, right now, at least.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say about that is duh, right? Like, if he fought Xander Zayas, which, by the way, that's probably not the best analysis, but yeah, if Virgil Ortiz lost to Xander Zayas, like, that would be a big L. And that's why I don't think that fight's happening right now. I think that fight is going to marinate for a while and we are going to get it. But for Virgil Ortiz, it does make more sense for him to fight Madrimov, especially if he wants a big payday like Bud Crawford, who's already looking towards Canelo, right? So now things have changed, but there's also bigger fights to make in the 154-pound division. There definitely is. However, I will say one thing, though. The Bohachuk fight was actually really interesting, and it told me a lot about Virgil Ortiz. Like, that was a very good win for him. And that's the thing. It's like, that's the one name I can look at Virgil Ortiz's resume and be like, okay, because, you know, there's other names on that resume where I'm like, ah, okay, but like they're decent names. I mean, he's got Vargas. I was always a good fan of a big fan of Maurice Hooker, so I like that win. You know, Thomas DeLorme was a good name on his resume. I don't think Xander Zayas.
He was fucking washed by that point, though.
He was, but he's still a name. But I look at Xander Zayas's resume, really. And there's nobody on that resume I'm impressed with at all. So I would like to see Xander Zayas fight better competition, and then hopefully we can get him and Virgil Ortiz in the future. But this is a fight that's not going to happen yet. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to marinate for a while, and I think Xander Zayas can beat anybody. I really do. The kid is that skilled. I think there is a lot of pressure on him, you know, to be the next Puerto Rican superstar and everything that comes with it. People want to see him knock out dudes. He's just not that fighter. He's a different type of fighter. But Virgil Ortiz is so entertaining that right now his star and cachet is bigger than Xander Zayas. So he does have a lot more to lose, because in this day and age of boxing, if you take one L, people are like, yo, it's a wrap for you. You know what I mean? Like, people don't want the O. And even though Dimitri Bivol took O, we're talking about his card and whatnot. But I think Virgil Ortiz made the right move, because I still think Madrimov is a good win. Like, I know people were like, oh, but it's fighting Madrimov. Madrimov's a tough fighter. Like, this is a tough fight. So if Virgil Ortiz can get it done against Madrimov, then I think a guy like Xander Zayas has to give us another good fight. You get what I'm trying to say? Like, he has to give us a big name.
I don't think people were saying Madrimov was tough before the fight with Terrence Crawford. Mm-hmm. I think we're saying that now. I think, like, there were probably some people in boxing, but by and large, I don't think that was the case, which is to my point earlier. Like, his stock has risen because of his performance in a Terrence Crawford fight, which I don't even think, like, he wasn't amazing in that fight or anything like that. He just kind of won some rounds against Terrence Crawford, which not a lot of people do. Even the rounds that Terrence Crawford gives you, which is usually the first one or two, and then he just sort of breaks you down. Like, that didn't quite happen, which is why I'm skeptical about Terrence Crawford weighing 186 or whatever it is in preparation for this Canelo circus later this year. But I think with Virgil Ortiz, like, you know, I what if he loses this fight? What does that look like for him?
But he could. But that's the thing about Virgil Ortiz that is so entertaining. The kid's not perfect. He makes mistakes, and we saw him make those mistakes against Bohachuk, and I liked it because he figured out a way and got the victory. I loved it. It was one of the best fights of last year. Like, I was obsessed with that fight. I watched it like 6 times. I thought it was a great fight. Here's the thing about it, though, and I'm going to be perfectly honest. In that fight, my heart would vote and root for Virgil Ortiz because the style that he fights, I'm a fan of. I think if Virgil Ortiz and Xander Zayas were to fight today, I think Xander Zayas could win that fight. I think Xander Zayas could win by decision in that fight against Virgil Ortiz if they fought today. But at the same time, I want to see how he does against Madrimov, because I think it is a tough fight. Madrimov did fight Bud, and he's probably going to look better. Like, you learn things off opponents that you fought. But that's my opinion. I would root for Virgil Ortiz in that fight, but I think Xander Zayas could beat him. I think Xander Zayas could beat him today, if I'm being honest. Like, that's how good Zayas is, in my opinion.
That's interesting. So,
yeah, I think I need to let that fight marinate, Brian, because that could arguably be one of the biggest fights that we could get in the next couple of years. Like, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but I think it could possibly happen next year or the year after. And I think it could be massive because it's the Puerto Rico-Mexico rivalry. Mm-hmm. Both these guys are young stars. So I want Virgil Ortiz to win this fight. I want Xander Zayas to fight better competition and get better names on his resume so we can build this fight to be massive.
No, I agree.
Because that's how big this fight could be. So they got to build it the right way, you know? So right now I'm okay with it not happening.
I am too. I just know Xander Zayas wants it now, but I think now is not the right time, to your point. If we're looking at this just on the surface, Virgil Ortiz is the interim WBC champion right now. So if he wins this, you're hoping he gets Sebastian Fundora, or Sebastian Fundora vacates and keeps the WBO because of some political bullshit that the WBC kind of forces his hand. Then Virgil Ortiz in this case gets elevated to full WBC champion. Then, okay, great. Xander Zayas is ranked number 3 right now. And ahead of him is Bohachuk, who just fought Virgil Ortiz, and also Madrimov, who's number two right now, who's fighting Virgil Ortiz now. So we have a pathway to make this fight happen pretty soon. I think the way Top Rank is going to play this, though, with Xander Zayas, is his next fight, which is, it could not be more obvious that it's going to be in June, Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend. I think they'll line him up to be in the main event of that card, and he'll face somebody slightly better than Slava Spomer, who he just beat the brakes off of in his last fight. And I don't know who that somebody is. I would love for it to be Charles Conwell. I don't think Top Rank is going to put him in the ring with Charles Conwell yet. I think it's going to be a slightly better opponent with a good-looking record who you think could he test them, and then Xander Zayas would beat the shit out of him. And then I think after that, he'll finally get shoved to the wolves, so to speak, and get his actual title shot. Because look, he's number one ranked by the WBO, and this is Top Rank. Top Rank will figure out a way to give him that WBO shot, whether it's for an interim title or whatever. And by that point, we're talking about Terrence Crawford, who's currently the WBO interim champion in his weight class. We're talking about him having fought Canelo Alvarez. What use is he going to have for the interim WBO title? So that's probably going to go to Xander Zayas if Sebastian Fundora still has the full championship at that point. You know, so there are ways, both in the ring and politically, like there are ways to get Xander Zayas a title shot. I think he's likely to fight for a WBO title or interim title two fights from now. I think it's still the Puerto Rican Day Parade fight. Maybe they make that an eliminator for all we know. I don't know. But regardless, I think he's going to have a fight that he wins. And then in October, November, something like that, all right, now it's time for you to get this title and then sort of build it from there. And I think Xander Zayas versus Virgil Ortiz is something we see in hopefully 2026.
Gotta love the Puerto Rican boxing content right there. We just slid it in there. You guys didn't even know it was coming. but listen, our good friend of the show, Jesus, says Virgil by split decision. Let us know how you're going to be betting this fight. Let us also know your thoughts on Xander Zayas and who you think he should fight next, and how you would see a, I don't want to say dream fight, but right now, how you would see a fight going between Virgil Ortiz and Xander Zayas. I mean, that is a question and a very good one. Brian, still some very good fights on this card. We'll quickly run through them. I think one of the most interesting ones is obviously Carlos Adames and Shiraz, right? Like that has to be.
Shiraz is a favorite.
Yeah. And I think Carlos Adames could win that fight too. Mm-hmm. I think there's a big good chance. Yeah. Who are you betting on that fight?
I'm really tempted to take Adames by knockout.
Ooh, okay.
Really tempted. I think Shiraz is really good. But I do, like, I've just seen this throughout the course of my life. Like, even though he has outstanding height and reach for this weight class. Shiraz looked really good against Tyler Denny, against Ammo Williams. That was the standout performance for me, where I was like, oh, beat the shit out of Ammo Williams, somebody who, you know, we had Troy Isley up on the show, one of our early guests, and he was like, I want Ammo Williams. This is at a time where Ammo Williams seemed like the prospect in the weight class. And Hamzat just beat the shit out of him in that fight. Dropped him a couple of different times. Yeah, it was a great performance. I think we're sleeping on Adames a little bit. Adames has real, like,
no, I'm not sleeping on Adames. I placed money on him and went on the money line plus 220.
He has real power. He looks so much better than Terrell Gachet's last fight. Granted, it was not like the best version of Terrell Gachet. And before that, he's gotten a couple of impressive stoppages. J-Rock Williams, when, you know, J-Rock Williams also not where he was before. But the way he sort of went about that fight, I thought was what I needed to see. But I get why Shiraz is the favorite. Like, you look at the prospect, not prospect. You look at the guy who was a top prospect, who became a contender, who has this height and reach advantage against Adames, whose resume you probably want a little bit more from, but comparatively, especially for somebody who has a title. I think ultimately, though, I think we are sleeping on Adames a little bit. I'm not sure if I'm going to pull the trigger. If I do, it's going to be Adames by stoppage. But if I end up flipping to Shiraz, then I think Shiraz could potentially get a decision here.
Yeah, I think Shiraz is super talented, but I really like Carlos Adames, so I placed money on him. I saw he was on the money line plus 220. I'm going to take him on the money line. I think this is actually a really close fight, and I think Adames makes it very interesting. But if Shiraz is able to get it done, that makes things even more interesting on who his next opponent could be. This is a very tough fight. Let's move on to another fight that, of course, is very interesting. And this one, I already know who I'm rocking with. It's Joshua Buatsi and Callum Smith. Buatsi is a minus 200 and Callum Smith is a plus 162. I'm rocking with Buatsi here. Brian, I think he gets it done against Callum Smith.
I mean, this feels like a Buatsi showcase, all due respect. So, I mean,
yeah. Okay, so let's move on. And one more fight. I think this is a very interesting one. It's one of the first fights. Zhile Zhang and Caballel. Mm-hmm. And Zhang is a plus 130 and Caballel is a minus 163. This one's going to be a really good fight. If Zhang can get busy in the first six rounds, as he does, mm-hmm. makes things really interesting. He fades in the second half. So I think this could be a very good fight for Caballel. Like, I think it's the possibly the end for Zhang because Zhang's sneakily old, but yeah. he still has that power. He fades in the second half of the fight, Brian.
I hope that he fights in China after this, like a big fight, win or lose. That'd be cool. I actually wanted him to defend when he had the interim title, you know, defend it in China, but he ended up just rematching Joe Joyce. Zhile Zhang is an underdog. I think there's a hedge spot here, though, where you can get in on Zhile Zhang to win by knockout in the first six rounds and then take, if he doesn't, just take Caballel. I mean, you could take Caballel regardless, who add value because, like, he is technically, he's plus money to win by stoppage, plus money to win on points. He's just minus money to win on a money line. But I look at this and I'm like, it's all about the stamina for me and how good is Caballel is really, to which the knockout over Frank Sanchez was impressive. In hindsight, I probably should have been a little lower on Frank Sanchez than I was because there was just some warts there you saw in the fights leading up to it, even though I thought it was a matchup that made a lot of sense. So I think a couple different things will happen here. Traditionally, like, yes, Zhile Zhang would lose this fight. But in those first six rounds, like, you could talk me into him getting a stoppage and losing, fine, because that's what happened against Joseph Parker, you know, like, and honestly, Zhile Zhang, until that Joseph Parker fight, and even with that Joseph Parker fight, I would argue he hasn't really lost a fight in terms of, like, in an obvious way, in a very clear cut, he got his ass beat type of way, because we thought the decision with Filip Hrgović was bullshit. That was a straight up robbery. Like, he should have had that fight. And he ends up beating Joe Joyce after anyway, so it doesn't matter. And then the fight with Joseph Parker, you know, that was a majority draw. I thought that very easily could have been a draw. And then the fight with Jerry Forrest was a draw that I think that one, I get it. So I don't think Zhang winning is crazy here. It's just I don't want to bet on somebody who's like 41, 42 years old, even in the heavyweight division. But he could very well win this fight and wouldn't shock me at all.
I'm a big Zhang fan, so, you know, if he won that fight, I'd be super hype. But I think Caballel gets it done. Tyrone the Great said, give me Zhang, putting his money on Zhang. Let's go to our good friend of the show, Nerd, who says, Adames is overrated, in my opinion. He will get stopped by Shiraz. Hey, listen, I don't hate that comment, but I really like Carlos Adames, so I'm hoping he doesn't get stopped, but Shiraz is that good where it's a possibility. And then if he does do that, I think we're talking more about Shiraz. I just want the truth, actually, going back to that Xander conversation said. I'll let you read this one.
Xander should fight Bakari Samake because he's a top rank.
You like that fight?
Samake has a fight coming up in April in France. That's the type of dude that you could probably see Xander Zayas fighting on Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend, though. You know what I mean? Like, slightly better than his last opponent. A name that you don't really know like that, but, like, he's good, but, like, good to a point, and Xander Zayas should take care of him. Like, that's kind of the line of thinking. And if I'm just looking at, like, the rankings also, because that's the other piece of this, you have to find somebody who's at least got some sort of merit And if I'm looking at the WBO, like the logical thing would be, hey, Charles Conwell, because he's ranked number two by the WBO. There's also another fight, though, that I would really like. And I think this is the fight for me that makes a ton of sense. Ton of sense. I don't know if you want to let this one marinate, because I think it could be a sneaky, like, I don't know about big nationally, but big definitely locally in the future. Callum Walsh, who's had fights at Madison Square Garden, who's fighting again at the theater next month, versus Xander Zayas. He's got some ranking. Callum Walsh versus Xander Zayas would be great, just like from an entertainment standpoint, because you have Puerto Rico and Ireland, and if you put that in New York, the fans are going to be nuts. I think that's a fight you might let marinate, though, because they're both really young. Callum Walsh is just 12-0 with 10 knockouts. He's 24 years old. But he looks good, and he's a southpaw, and Xander Zayas is going to bring it. Like, that's a fight that would be a lot of fun. I don't think they do that Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend, though. I think
what about Zayas and Vito?
Vito Mielnicki. So Vito Mielnicki got a draw in his last fight, and he moved up to middleweight, apparently. So I think the dream of Puerto Rico versus Italy might be dead.
What about
Vito Mielnicki? Did not look great. He should have won that fight, by the way. Kind of low-key got robbed. But yeah. It was funny because I don't like using the word robbed, but like a couple instances, like that one was a robbery. But I don't think that fight's going to happen. It'd be great. It'd be great, though. It'd be fun.
No. What about Jesus Ramos?
No.
That's a tricky fight, is it? you know what I mean? I think that's a good fight, though. But here's the thing. I actually don't think Xander Zayas is afraid to fight anybody. Like, if he was ready to fight Virgil Ortiz, I think he's ready to go with anybody in the ring. But I think that Jesus Ramos fight is very interesting. And that's a fight they can make happen.
He fights next month.
That's a great fight, yo. I love that fight, actually. Xander Zayas and Jesus Ramos. Give me that fight. That's an entertaining fight that I think people would want to see and be down for. Because at this point,
he's going to be on the Sebastian Fundora, Cordell Booker undercard.
Yeah, because at this point, it's like, I do want Xander to fight better competition, but I don't want him to fight like slightly better. I just want him to fight better competition. Like, give Xander a name, a name like Jesus Ramos, and let's just see and let them get busy. That's a great fight. I'd love to see that. Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend.
Jesus, this is an interesting one. Jahi Tucker has been calling out Xander Zayas.
I think this is a good fight.
I am, I'm not going to say I'm down on Jahi Tucker, but like, Xander Zayas would beat Jahi Tucker.
So. Yeah, he would, but that's a good fight. That's a fight on the res where I'm like,
he's from New York, Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend. See, like, this is, the Top Rank is going to figure out, like, they're going to make the matchup. And there are going to be a bunch of people who are like not going to be thrilled with it because it's not like one of the names in the weight class. But I'm going to look at it and be like, yeah, that makes sense because, again, it's Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend.
Locally, it makes legit sense.
You don't want the stiffest test. Like,
you know what I mean? I would like him to have a tough test, but I get the whole, you know,
I do too, but I'm saying promotionally for them, I think they're. Top Rank is good at what they do. I give them props. They're even though a lot of people don't like it, they're very smart with their matchmaking and they're good at just sort of developing their fighters. And they'll throw guys in there when they feel like they're totally ready. And I think it's time. But I also understand, like, if it's Puerto Rican Day Parade weekend, do you really want to throw him in there with Charles Conwell?
That's a tough fight, though.
Do you want Charles Conwell to potentially spoil the party? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, but if I'm one of those fighters, I want to spoil the party.
Right.
Like, I just want the entertaining fights, man. And at the same time, like, I'm a fan of Xander Zayas, and I do think he can beat a lot of these guys in this division. Yeah. And I think it's time for him. He's not a prospect anymore. I don't think of him as a prospect anymore. Yeah. And I think he has the star power. So this, to me, is exciting. So let's give Xander a name. This was not supposed to be about Xander Zayas. It turned into it. But nonetheless, thank you guys so much for rocking with us this morning. Remember, we are going to be having the post-fight show. So after Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol 2, come and rock with us after the show. We're going to be breaking down the fight, taking your comments, and going through the whole undercard as well. So make sure to join us. Brian, any final thoughts before we get up and out of here?
Bobby Portis just got suspended?
Yes, 25 games. 25 games. And he said that he took painkillers or something like that. That's what I was doing while you were I saw this when we were talking about Shakur Stevenson. Apparently, what they're trying to say is he took some painkillers. 25 games, so that's massive.
Well, he was out because of some personal shit recently. I wonder if that has any correlation there.
No, no. Apparently, it's painkillers. That's what he's saying. He took some painkillers, but nonetheless, we out of here. See y'all on Saturday after the fights. Enjoy them and drop your comments. And once again, if you like the content, hit that like and subscribe button. We'll see y'all on Saturday.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.